by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله ما شاء الله. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to our early morning program from our Bradford studios in the UK, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that this beautiful day has met you all with good health and strong iman. Like every day, inshallah, we're going to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has reported to have said that send abundant salat upon me on Fridays, for it is the day of presence. Angels appear, and whoever recites salat upon me, his salat is presented to me. The narrator then humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, even after your apparent demise? The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam said, yes, indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden the earth to consume the bodies of the prophets. So the prophets of Allah are alive and are provided with provision. MashaAllah. Viewers of Malaysia, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. And who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of the channel, if you watch Arise and Shine on a daily basis, you know the very first segment that we have is probably the best segment that you can have on any program on Madani Channel. And that is listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's start that program by listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وَأَدْخِلْ يَدَكَ فِي جَيْبِكَ تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ
اور اپنا ہاتھ اپنے گریبان میں ڈال نکلے گا سفید چمکتا بے عیب
فی تسع آیات الی فرعون وقومه انہم کانوا قوما فاسقین
نو نشانیوں میں فرعون اور اس کی قوم کی طرف بے شک وہ بے حکم لوگ ہیں
فلما جاءتهم آياتنا مبصرة قالوا هذا سحر مبين
پھر جب ہماری نشانیاں آنکھیں کھولتی ان کے پاس آئیں بولے یہ تو سری جادو ہے
وجحدوا بها واستيقنتها أنفسهم ظلما وعلوا
اور ان کے منکر ہوئے اور ان کے دلوں میں ان کا یقین تھا ظلم اور تکبر سے
فانظر كيف كان عاقبة المفسدين
تو دیکھو کیسا انجام ہوا فسادیوں کا
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا
اور بے شک ہم نے داود اور سلیمان کو بڑا علم عطا فرمایا
وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
اور دونوں نے کہا سب خوبیاں اللہ کو جس نے ہمیں اپنے بہت سے ایمان والے بندوں پر فضیلت بخشی
وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُودَ وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عُلِّمْنَا مَنطِقَ الطَّيْرِ وَأُوْتِيْنَا مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ
اور سلیمان داوود کا جانشین ہوا اور کہا اے لوگو ہمیں پرندوں کی بولی سکھائی گئی اور ہر چیز میں سے ہم کو عطا ہوا
ان هذا له الفضل المبين
بے شک یہی ظاہر فضل ہے
وحشر لسليمان جنوده من الجن والإنس والطير فهم يوزعون.
اور جمع کیے گئے سلیمان کے لیے اس کے لشکر جنوں اور آدمیوں اور پرندوں سے، تو وہ روکے جاتے تھے.
حتی اذا اتوا علی واد النمل قالت نملۃ یا ایها النمل ادخلوا مساکنکم لا يحطمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون.
یہاں تک کہ جب چونٹیوں کے نالے پر آئے، ایک چونٹی بولی، اے چونٹیوں اپنے گھروں میں چلی جاؤ، تمہیں کچل نہ ڈالے سلیمان اور ان کے لشکر بے خبری میں.
فتبسم ضاحكا من قولها وقال رب اوزعني ان اشكر نعمتك التي انعمت علي وعلى والدي وان اعمل صالحا ترضاه وادخلني برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين.
تو اس کی بات سے مسکرا کر ہنسا اور عرض کی، اے میرے رب مجھے توفیق دے کہ میں شکر کروں تیرے احسان کا جو تو نے مجھ پر اور میرے ماں باپ پر کیے، اور یہ کہ میں وہ بھلا کام کروں جو تجھے پسند آئے، اور مجھے اپنی رحمت سے اپنے ان بندوں میں شامل کر جو تیرے قرب خاص کے سزاوار ہیں.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. You know, whenever the Quran Pak is recited, a lot of people, if it's on the TV, they turn the sound down. Or if people are reciting it, then they leave the room. In fact, I've seen it. The reason being is that, you know, we have this mindset that it's disrespectful to not listen to the Quran when it's being recited. But if it's disrespectful to not listen to the Quran when it's being recited, then surely it's disrespectful to turn the volume down when it's being recited. Surely it's disrespectful to leave the room when it's being recited. So we need to make a habit of listening to the Quran or reading the Quran on a daily basis. And it's something that we keep on stressing this on this program, because we have this beautiful package at the beginning of the day, to try and make a habit of reading the Quran on a daily basis. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And today we're talking about the journey to Medina of the true lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason we're talking about this is that maybe 30, 40 years ago, maybe more, 30, 40 years ago, it was quite difficult to perform the journey to go to the blessed lands, to the sacred lands, to go to Makkah, to go to Medina. And so people would save all their life, and it was almost like a big event that, you know, you hear of stories in the park in some continent that people used to go to the train station and see them off, or go to the coast and see them off at the ships. And even in this country, you know, there's very, very few people that used to go on the Hajj, and it was made a big thing, and it'd be like almost like a seeing off party, and people would look forward to them coming back. But in recent times, what happened is obviously the increase in money. People have a lot more money now. People can go and make this sacred journey even more. And so the value of that journey is not valued as much as it was in the past. And I remember when I had the blessed opportunity to perform the Hajj, and I remember I noticed within a very, very short space of time that when you go on the Hajj, they put these bands on you. Yeah, these colored bands on you. And the color of them bands signifies where you have come from, which area of the world you have come from. And I think from memory, ours were a red, I think. And I think people from the Indian subcontinent, Park in Bangladesh, etc., were all yellow, I think, from memory. And although these two people, different people, were wearing different bands, the actions were also very different as well. Because you saw that those people that had come from a wealthier country, so to speak, from England, from America, or such, or Europe, then the passion for worship, the passion for filling the sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was less than these people who had come from the Parkin subcontinent. And the reason was is that these people that had come from the Parkin subcontinent, in probably 99% of the cases, they knew that this was a once-in-a-lifetime journey. They knew that they would never, ever probably get this opportunity again. And maybe they'd saved up, maybe their pensions had come through, maybe they'd sold, whatever they'd done all their life, they saved up for this journey, this one journey in a lifetime. And so they made the most of it. And I remember seeing once, there was an incident where, alhamdulillah, our hotel was very close to the Haram Sharif. And I think now where our hotel is, it's all been demolished and probably extended and new hotels have been made. And literally, there's the Kaaba Sharif, the Makkah Sharif, and literally a road, and we were living on this side. And I remember once coming out of the hotel, and every day I saw this person sitting on a piece of cardboard. And one day it crossed my mind that maybe this person was in need of money. Maybe he needed funds. He's not asked for it. He's not begging for it like you would see the other beggars on the streets. So I thought to myself, you know what, I'll give it him. I'll give him some money, but I'll give it in such a way that he's not asking for it, you know, and I won't openly do it. So I knelt down one day and I put my hands forward and I give him salam, and in my hand, I put some money. And when I said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he gave me salam, but then he didn't let go of my hand. You know, I'm doing this easy. He went, he said, what is this? And I said to him that maybe you needed money. He said, did I ask for it? He said, no. So why are you giving it to me then? I said, maybe you need it. He said, well, I'm not asking for it. I don't need it. I said, okay. I realized that he felt a bit insulted. So I said to him, I'm sorry. You know, I apologized. I'm sorry for this. He said, no, this isn't good enough. You know, you have to pay a fine now. I said, okay. He said, sit down. So I sat down. And he gave me the money back. I put it in my pocket. I said, what's the fine? And I think he said to me, you've got to read salutations on the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 200 times and pass the sawab on to me. That act in itself impressed me. So I sat there, recited the Durood-e Pak 200 times, made the intention that the sawab would go to him. And then I asked him, because now what had happened was I saw that he had a band. I saw the band on his hand. So I said to him that this band that you have on your hand, you know, it signifies that you're an official haji here. You're not someone that's come here. So everybody that's here, they have a hotel. And if you have a hotel, then why are you not there? You know, every time I come out of my hotel, you're here, you're sitting here. Nearly every time I come out, you're here. You know, do you ever go back to your hotel? And he's quite an aged person. He said to me, son, I've not come here to stay in hotels. I've not come here to lie in AC rooms. If you want to find me, I'll be in three places. He said, either I'll be at that shop over there getting some food to eat, because that's the closest shop here. Either I will be here resting, or I will be in the Haram Sharif. I'll be nowhere else. You'll not find me anywhere else. You'll not find me in any marketplace. I'm here to fulfill my lifelong dream of coming to these sacred lands. And inshallah, in a few days' time, I'll be going to the beautiful city of Medina. And that was the difference, viewers of the channel. The difference between people that have come from so-called wealthier countries and people that come from poorer. The poorer people that came, they came with that passion that it's a once-in-a-lifetime journey. Yet I heard it from my own ears so many times when people said, oh, should we go to this place? Should we go to that place? Should we go here to that, you know, to this ziyarat? Oh, we'll do it next time. We'll do it next time. Next time we'll come tired. Now, you know, next time when I come, yeah, next year when I come again, or the year after when I come, I'll do it then. So the value came down. And nowadays you see people that are performing the Umrah twice a year, three times a year. Allah's blessed them. Good, it's mashallah, it's beautiful. That they are spending this money in the way of Allah, because one thing I've realized is, and I think this is true, my husn-e zan, my positive feelings about people is that when people go on this journey, they're going for no other reason. You know, they're not going there to gain fame. They're not there to go and buy business, to buy loads of gold and go back. They're going there purely for that opportunity to be able to visit these sacred lands. And, you know, they have that intention. So, you know, I remember when I was sitting at the airport, getting ready to make the journey, and I looked around and I thought to myself, all these people are here. And, you know, people are running to the plane, they're going on business trips, they're going on holidays, they're going to visit families. But only these people that are going on the Hajj, that are going on Umrah, only these people are going purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's the one journey in your lifetime that you'll make purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But in saying that, you get these people that don't value that journey. That what happens is they take it for granted. And nowadays, alhamdulillah, people are going, and maybe because we've taken this journey for granted, that passion, maybe, I'm not saying it has, I'm not saying it is the case, and I know with a lot of people that are fortunate to make the journey several times a year, their passion is still there, that their longing is still there, they want to go, they want to stay there, they want to die there, yeah? They have that passion inside them, but maybe that is there. So today's program is basically, we're going to look at those people of the past. We're going to look at their passion, their devotion, their thirst, as it would call it, to visit the city of Medina. And I'm hoping that if we listen to their journeys, how they would visit the city of Medina, the feelings that they had, the thirst that they wanted to quench, that was never quenchable, that they constantly wanted to go there, then maybe we can develop that quench inside us, that love inside us. Because the city of Medina, why do we love the city of Medina? Because it's associated with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The city of Medina is such that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting there. The companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are resting there. And anything that has a connection with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we try to love. We love to our utmost ability. But in loving so, if we can love it with a passion, with the earn, the jazba, if you want to call it, the enthusiasm of our pious predecessors, then inshallah we can benefit a lot more. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the kalam of the day. And then inshallah, when we come back, we'll give you some examples of how our pious predecessors, their feelings, how they felt when they visited the city of Medina. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين وثق عليه محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العمام مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي
صلِّ وسلِّم دائماً أبداً على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر. ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن علي وعن عثمان ذي الكرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. يا ربي جمعا طلبنا منك مغفرة. يا ربي جمعا طلبنا منك مغفرة وحسن خاتمة يا مبدي النعم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها. واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها. سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله, I hope you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in the studio as well, mashallah. Viewers and channel, today we are talking about the lovers of the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and how they would visit the blessed city of Medina, what their intentions would be like, what their feelings would be like. And the reason for this is that maybe we can try and develop them intentions in our hearts, maybe we can develop the feelings in our hearts. Because you know, we know that it's part of our iman to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to love anything that's associated with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how do we do this? And alhamdulillah, there are many, many examples. If we look at the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we look at all of the pious predecessors. They were all true lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In their lives, there were many, many examples. And so if we look at the examples of how they loved something associated with the Prophet, how they loved the city of Medina, how they would yearn to visit the city of Medina, then hopefully we can develop that inside ourselves as well. The first instance that I'm going to give you today is about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. When he was performing the Hajj the second time, he said that he fell severely ill when he was in the city of Mecca. And he was worried that because of this prolonged illness, he was worried about visiting the blessed mausoleum of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And upon noticing his continued fever, he made his intention to pay his visit in the same condition. Now the scholars that were there at that time tried to prevent him by saying that, look, you're ill. You know, you cannot make this journey. Your medical condition is deteriorating. You're getting worse. And you've got this long journey ahead. It's not like nowadays where you can get on these super bullet trains or you can get on these fast cars and be there in X number of hours or even get a flight. At that time, you know, it was a long, hardest journey. And so, you know, when he was told that, look, your condition's deteriorated, you're getting worse. And this long journey ahead, you know, think about it. And Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala that said that, if you ask me for the truth, the real purpose of my visit is to visit the Holy Taiba. I started my pilgrimage both times with the same intention. Allah forbid, if there is no such intention, there is no such pleasure for me in performing the Hajj alone. They then insisted him to consider his condition. They said to him, look, your condition's getting worse, please think about it. Then Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, he read the following hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the person who performs Hajj and does not visit me, he is not devoted to me. Allahu Akbar. Now the scholars, they tried to answer him with this. They said that, look, you've already been before. You visited him. Last time you came, you visited the place. Sayyidina Ala Hazrat said to me that in my humble opinion, the meaning of this hadith is not that visiting once is sufficient. Though a person has performed Hajj so many times, but it is essential to pay a visit with every Hajj. And then he said, now make dua that I may get to go to the blessed Rosa Rasul of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And once I behold it, once I see the blessed Rosa Rasul of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I don't care. You know, I don't care if I depart from this world in that same way. That if I die as a result of this illness, I'm not bothered. As long as before I die, I get there. This passion, this yearning, this love for being able to go and attain the nearness of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be in that blessed masjid, to be in the blessed court, to be able to see with your own eyes the Rosa Rasul. You know, this is so unique that in our deen of Islam, the Muslims have this in them. That Muslims love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love everything that's associated to him. And not only that, the love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we've said this before, and the passion is such that, you know, if someone loves someone that you love, then normally you get jealous. But in this case, if these people love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or love anything associated with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you start to love them as well. And this is the beauty of Islam, to love the lovers. Love the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only love, but love the lovers as well. And his devotion was so strong that he doesn't care about his health. He had profound passion just to look at the blessed mausoleum of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to fill his eyes, you know, in his mind, it was like a spiritual coolness that once I get there, my eyes will be cool, my body will feel, I'll feel so much lighter when I get there. Moreover, his following sentence is also worth mentioning with golden words in history. He said that if you ask me earnestly, my true aim and objective is the destination of Taiba. Both the times I embark on this journey with the same intention. If not so, the bliss and spirituality of my Hajj would go unfulfilled. Allahu Akbar. Viewers on my channel, if we can develop that devotion, desperate longing for the city of Medina, those who have a sincere devotion to visit the city of Medina are certainly blessed with the mercy of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they are surprisingly privileged to pay their appearance there despite having no resources and provisions. There are people that don't have it, but alhamdulillah, they're called there. You know, we say that people call you there. This is a blessing. And I think it's something that we need to ponder on as well, that if we've not gone for a long time, or we've not been at all, then why not? Now, we may be able to make all sorts of worldly excuses. I was busy with my education. I was busy with my business. I got my children. I couldn't afford with all the children that I had. I had to, you know, get them married. I had to do that. And we make all sorts of excuses, don't we? But maybe we were not called. Maybe we didn't have the permission to go there. And if we don't have the permission to visit the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then how do you think we will fare in that dark and lonely grave when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes and visits us? When he did not give us the opportunity to call to come to him, then what will happen then? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam might feel or might say that this was a person that I didn't want. You know, I've come into his grave, but this was a person that
that I didn't want to see. And if that is the case, then why? What have we, you know, again, you need to self-examine yourself. You can't blame the dunya on this. You can't blame your wealth. You can't blame anything. You need to ask yourself why. And if it's a genuine reason, if you are, you know, living in a country that that you don't have the money, you don't have the resources, then that's a really genuine, genuine reason. But even then, that thirst needs to be there. Many, many years ago, I'm talking about a long time ago now, maybe 20 plus years ago, that I was in Pakistan at the time. And, you know, there was a program on TV and they were reciting Salatul Salam. And they were showing the Rose Rasul of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the TV, and the people in the room, they gathered, stood up. And to respect that, they could see it with their own eyes, and tears were coming down their eyes, this yearning to go and see the city of Medina. They have a genuine reason that they don't have that wealth. But if we have that wealth, and we've not gone, or we've not gone for a long time, then we need to ask a question. What am I doing wrong? I not got that passion. Because I remember Abdullah Bibai was once asked, Rukni Shura Abdullah Bibai, alhamdulillah, may Allah Azzawajal bless him, he has the opportunity to visit the city of Medina several times a year. And someone was asked him that, how is it possible that you do it? What happened? And he said that the first thing that you need to have is, you need to have that yearning, that passion to go there. And if you have that yearning, that passion to go there, then Allah will find a way for you. So maybe we haven't got that true yearning there, that true passion there. Maybe again, like other things, it is lip service. We just say it, but we don't mean it. We say we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we don't mean it. Maybe we say, oh, we want to go to Medina, please do dua for me. And I'm going to ask you all, you know, at the end of the program, I'll ask you all to please do dua for me that I can, and we can all visit the city of Medina. But do we have that real yearning inside ourselves? Do we have that real passion inside us? That thirst that we feel is unquenchable without anything, without visiting the city of Medina, that thirst could not be quenched. Do we have that inside ourselves? Maybe we don't. And maybe that's something that we all need to reflect on. We all need to think on. Because like I've said many times before, that if you want to go to the source of any problem that we are facing in society, it's me, it's us. We are the problem in society. We are the ones that make society. You know, we are saying that this is happening in society, that is happening in society. Well, we are part of that society, aren't we? So if we are not blessed with this opportunity, then why? Have we prioritized our kitchen extension more than the Hajj? Have we prioritized our daughter's weddings more than the Hajj? Have we prioritized that bungalow back home more than the Hajj? Have we prioritized paying off that mortgage more than going on the Hajj? Have we prioritized that new car more than going on the Hajj? And maybe that is the reason why, because we prioritized other things. We prioritized so many other things, and because we prioritized them things, then this goes down the list. A couple of months ago, I used to mention it quite regularly on Madani Shanda. You know, a lot of people nowadays, you see on social media, talking about a bucket list. And a bucket list is something where these are the things that you want to do before you die. And people will say, I want to visit this place, I want to visit that place. I want to get a detached house, I want to have this car, I want to get married, I want to do this, I want to do that. And they make a list of all these things. They put the most important thing at the top of the list and down the list. And so them that are at the top of the list, them are the things that they want to really strive for. These, they kind of tick them off as they're going along, the ones at the bottom of the list. But they know that them things at the top of the list are either the hardest to get, or they're the most important for them. And so they really want to tick them off. So for example, if someone wants to visit a certain capital of the world or a certain scenery in the world, you know, some place in the world that they want to visit Africa for argument's sake, then they'll put that, and that's the top, I want to visit Africa, even though they can financially afford it, they've got the money to go there, but it's there at the top of the list because something is stopping them. And so they look at that list and eventually one of them, they'll find a way to be able to go there. If we had a bucket list, word on that list would be to please our Rabb. Word on that list would be to perform the Fard Hajj. Word on that list would it be to perform Nafal Hajj. Word on that list would it be to visit the city of Medina. Word on that list would it be to get closer to our Rabb. Would it be on the list of the things that we want to do in our life? We say it, but do we plan it? You know, you get people that plan these trips. I'm going to get rid of this house. I'm going to get a bigger house. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to get a second house. I'm going to put it on rent. I'm going to do that. And they have all this plan for the next 10 years. And you're sitting there listening to their plans for the next 10 years. But nowhere in that list of things that they're going to do with the money for the next 10 years is going on the Hajj. Nowhere in that list for the next 10 years is going to perform the Umrah. It's not on the list. And that is because it's not a priority to us. And that again is the question. Why is it not a priority to us? Why have we not made it important in our life that we want to go and perform the Hajj? Why is it we not made it important in our life that we want to go and make this sacred journey, go to the blessed city of Medina, see the Rose Rasul in front of us, You know, have that coolness of that heart and mind and the soul and visit that beautiful place. Why? Because it's not on our priority. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, with regards to the city of Medina, that it purifies people as the furnace purifies the iron from rust. The city of Medina does this. Whoever comes to visit my grave and he comes solely for this purpose, then it is necessary upon me to do intercession for him on the day of judgment. You know, if we go to the city of Medina and we go there so that we can say we've been, we can show up to, I went to the city of Medina. You know, I was there. Or if we go there because, I don't know, the gold's cheap there, you know, we just go there. Or we're going there because it's part of the package, you know, everyone's going, so we've got to go. You know, the package I booked for Hajj, I had to go there, so we went there. I didn't really want to go because, you know, because some people then say, well, you know, that in Makkah Sharif there, I can perform the Tawaf, I can perform the Umrah, I can perform all these. Yes, you can, without a doubt. And people say that, oh, when you're in Medina Sharif, you can only perform the daily prayers. But you can be there, presenting yourself in the court of the beloved. Go and send your Salatul Salam. You know, every Friday after Salatul Jummah, the brothers stand up and send Salatul Islam. There you've got the opportunity to present it in front of you. Allahu Akbar. So maybe that thirst is not there. We haven't got that thirst inside us. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever performs Hajj after my apparent demise, then he visits my grave. Listen to this. Then he visits my grave. It is as if he has visited me during my lifetime. Allahu Akbar. Do we not all dream of having the ability to visit the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Does not every lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam want the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come in their dreams to see, to be able to see them with their own eyes? Surely we all want that. Surely we could all wish. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that, you know, come here, it's as if you are visiting me. And if you come here with this intention, then I will intercede for you on the day of judgment. If you come here, then your sins will be removed. What more do you want? But again, the people that went there didn't go with these hadiths in mind. Yeah? They just went there for the coolness of the eyes to see the Rawza Rasul, the coolness of the heart to be in the presence of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the coolness of the soul to be in that beautiful Masjid al-Nabi where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once prayed, to go to Rawza Rasul, to go to the place, to the member where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be. Just to be close, feel close, that closeness to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's something that we need to develop. Inshallah, we're going to take a small break now, and inshallah afterwards we're going to give you some of the advantages and benefits of visiting the Rawza Rasul of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
A very important hadith. Let's listen to it. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, O people, avoid five things in order to protect yourself from five others. The nation which weighs less, Allah Almighty afflicts them with high prices and scarcity in fruits. The nation which breaks its promises, Allah Almighty imposes their enemies upon them. The nation which does not give zakah, Allah Almighty withholds rain from them. And if it were not for the quadrupeds, they would not be even given a drop of water. The nation in which indecency and immodesty spreads, Allah Almighty afflicts them with the plague. The nation which makes decisions without the Holy Quran, Allah Almighty causes them to experience the wrongdoing of their actions, and He makes them have fear of one another. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, if we look at our surroundings, are these not happening to us? It is unfortunate that the mindset to perform good deeds has decreased among the Muslims, and sins are witnessed everywhere. There is no particular interest in the call towards righteousness. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, heed the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Al-Ghafoor, He is Ar-Rahim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness by the sake of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, bijahi nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Today we're talking about the devotees visiting the blessed city of Medina. And why do we visit the city of Medina? Allahu Akbar. It's because it's the resting place of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can attain that closeness, be in that city where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once was, walk them streets, the same places where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, visit the city, visit the area of Uhud, visit Mount Uhud, visit all the masjids there, visit all these places, and think to yourself that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once here. Allahu Akbar. That's why we visit. That's why we visit, to attain that closeness, to be close to the ones that we love. The ones that you love, you want to be close to them. You want to be as close to them as possible. You want to go to the places that they've been to. You want to see the things that they have seen. You want to walk in their footsteps. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that all of us can be blessed with visiting the city of Medina, not once, not twice, but as many times as Allah Azza wa Jalla permits us. Mubalik Islam Sheikh Shoaib Harfish Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated that 10 miracles and honors of those people who visit the Rawza Rasul, i.e. the resting place of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, he will become a high ranked person. Number two, he will achieve his aim and objective. Number three, his needs will be fulfilled. Number four, he will be privileged to spend his donation. Number five, he will remain safe and sound from destruction and devastation. Number six, he will be immune from defects and flaws. Number seven, his troubles will be eased. Number eight, he will be protected from calamities. And number nine, he will have a good return in the hereafter. And number 10, he will have the blessings of the Rabb of the East and the West. Oh Allah, bless us with an opportunity to visit the city of Medina. And again, I've said that there are some benefits. We've mentioned the hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but those people that go there just to be there, just to have that proximity, just to be in that place, just to breathe that air, just to feel the environment, just to be there, you know, just to breathe that same air, and the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way that they are there in the city of Medina, their utmost respect, their utmost love, their utmost devotion they have for everything of Medina, be it the animals, be it the cats of Medina, whatever it is, they love everything in Medina. Why? Because it's associated with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every brick, every stone, even though them roads, some of them are rebuilt, and without them, most of them are rebuilt, and the tarmac wasn't there in the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The houses were not there, the places were not there, the buildings were not there, all of them things were not there. But just to be there in that environment, in that place, where you could possibly close your eyes and think to yourself that, you know, I'm here. I'm in that blessed place where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent his last years of his apparent life, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting after his apparent demise. He is here. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is here. The one that I try to love, the one that I try to follow, the one that I try to adhere to, the one that I try to listen to, he is here. And I think if we go there, then that passion for love, that passion for yearning, that passion for following, the passion for adopting the sunnah will increase, inshallah. So that is something, you know, that we need to try and have that passion inside us. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has reported that whoever sends salam upon me, Allah returns my soul to me until I answer to his salam. Now, commenting on this hadith, the commentator of the Quran, Hakim al-Ummat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah ta'ala, stated, "Here, soul neither refers to the attention nor that sense which keeps one alive. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is always alive. This blessed hadith does not imply that I remain dead normally, and when somebody sends salat, I respond to him by becoming alive, because in every moment, millions of salat are reached upon the noblest Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then removal and putting the soul back would mean millions of time." He goes on to say, "Remember that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has constant and equal attention upon innumerable reciters of salat, and he responds to all salams like the sun throwing its light upon the entire world at the same time. Similarly, The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam listens to everyone's salam, and he even does not experience any kind of trouble. And why could this not happen? Since the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is purified and full of grandeur. After all, as Allah azza wa jalla listens to all, similarly the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam listens to salatu salam of innumerable true devotees all at once. This is the status of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I was reading that, I thought to myself that the example was given that, you know, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam listening to people sending salam all around the world in the same way the sun is shining on the world. But the sun only shines on half the world at one time. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is listening to our salatu salam, our durood, our salutations from all around the world at the same time. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is the status of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it doesn't, and like he said, it doesn't trouble him. Imagine if we were in a room and 20 people are talking to us. You know when you're in a meeting and three or four people start talking to you and one person's got this viewpoint, one person's saying they want, you think, oh, just one at a time, please, one at a time. But no, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it doesn't trouble him. We should take advantage of this. We should send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by sending these salutations upon him, the benefits, every day we mention the benefits. Every day we mention the reward. Every day we mention the benefits. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself, it's not as if, you know, there's a piece of paper being sent to him. You know, like when you go to a khatam, and at the khatam, just before the dua takes place, a piece of paper is given at the front. And in the piece of paper, it said that, you know, so many Quran were read, so many kalma were read, surah Mul, surah Khalas, and all this piece of paper was given to them. Yeah? And so the person, when he's doing dua, he said, Ya Allah, please accept this Quran, this and that. It's not like that. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not presented a piece of paper. He hears you, he listens to you, he replies to you. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And it says that even to the extent he will reply to you that your name and your father's name as well. Oh, so-and-so, son of so-and-so. Oh, so-and-so, son of, daughter of so-and-so. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And yet still we don't send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Still, we don't take that time and put it aside and send durud-e pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of Manchana, please. Make a change from today that inshaAllah as well, no matter what. And the pious predecessors have said that in the hadiths, in the sayings that have said that people that read durud-e pak in abundance, read send salutations in abundance, and how much is it abundance? An abundance is a minimum of 313 times. An abundance is a minimum of 313 times. And there are many, many benefits. Just before I continue, in our pious deeds booklet, Amil Sunnah suggests, recommends that we recite durud-e pak at least 313 times. And I remember many years ago, we got news that in my hometown, that a sister had been blessed with a vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all the sisters went to her house, you know, to ask her, you know, what did you see? What happened? How did you feel? Da, 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 and all these questions were asked. And then, you know, they asked her a question, you know, do you do anything extra? Do you get up for the hajjat? Do you have nafli roza, chash, ishaq, I mean, what do you do? What do you do? And she said, nothing really. I try my best to fill in the pious deeds booklets, and every day I make sure that I read 3,313 salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they stopped her. Say that again. She said, yeah, it says in the pious deed booklet to recite 3,313. I recite 3,313 every day. And the sisters then realized that she'd read it wrong. It says 313, but she read it wrong, and she was reading every day 3,313 durud-e pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regularly, every day without fail. Allahu Akbar. And that's the gift that she was blessed with. That's the gift that she was blessed. And I'm not saying to you that you will be blessed with this gift. But he who does not try does not get. And I remember someone going to a pious person. I read this. He went to a pious person and he asked the person that, you know, I hear a certain person wanting to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they see them. They've seen them. I've never seen them. I have never been blessed with a vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he asked this pious person, is there any wazifa? Is there anything that I can do that can generate, that can enable me to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dreams? And the person said to him, yeah, I'll give you something. He said, okay, tell me. And he leaned forward and listened. He said, you know, when you go home, on your way home, buy some salty fish, okay? Some sea fish, buy that fish, cook it, eat it. And when you've ate it, after you've ate it, don't drink any water. Don't drink any water and go to sleep. How much fish? About a kilo of fish, and eat as much as you can. Make sure you're full and then go to sleep. So this person thinks this is easy. Maybe that's what everybody's been doing. I've not been doing this. So he went and he bought a kilo of fish, cooked it, ate it, as per instruction, didn't drink any water. Went to sleep. Next morning he wakes up and he goes to that pious person and said, you said to me that if I eat this fish, I'll see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. He said, no, I didn't actually say that. I just told you to eat some fish. I did not say, if you eat this fish, this will happen. You asked me that, what can I do? And I told you to eat some fish. He said, but okay, tell me what you did see. Before we discuss that, tell me what you did see. Did you see anything? Oh yeah, I saw loads of things. What did you see? Oh, I saw water, I saw fountains, I saw rivers, I saw all sorts of fruit juices, all sorts of drinks, everything. Every dream you can think of, I saw rivers, fountains, all sorts of things. And he says, that is why you saw them things, because you went to sleep thirsty. That fish was salty fish. I told you not to drink water. You went to sleep thirsty. And because you went to sleep thirsty, what did you see? Water. Until we go to sleep thirsty with the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts, until we have that thirst inside us. You know, a thirst can only be quenched if you have a thirst. Yeah? We have to have that thirst inside us to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our dreams. We need to have that thirst inside us to be able to visit the city of Medina. Unless you have that thirst inside you, it's not going to get quenched. And those fortunate people, I believe, that are able to perform this journey on a regular basis, 2 times a year, 3 times a year, 4 times a year, whatever it is, they have that thirst inside them. And those of them that are maybe like me that don't visit regularly, something wrong with me, isn't it? That I've not got that thirst. That I've not got that thirst inside me that I should have. Because if I had that thirst that the others had, then surely I would have been called. And so it's something that I need to look at. I need to self-examine myself. And in the same way, all of our viewers here, if you are amongst those fortunate ones, then all well and good. But if not, then we need to find out why we're not thirsty. Why don't we have that thirst inside us? Without a doubt, there's something wrong with us to not have that thirst. Allahu Akbar. Marwan, the ruler, he was going somewhere in the period of his rule. And someone placed his forehead on the blessed grave of the Prophet of Rahmah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Marwan said to him, what are you doing? Don't you know what you are doing? When the person turned to him, Marwan realized that it was Sayyidina Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu said to him, I've not come to a stone. I've come to the court of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've heard the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, do not weep for the deen if the qualified people were in control, but weep for it if it was under the charge of unqualified ones. We learn from that parable. The blessed companions had a deep devotion towards the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they always carried this belief that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive in his blessed grave. It is for this reason that Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Anthari radiallahu anhu gave a clear reply that he has not approached any stone which is lifeless, which can neither listen nor speak. Rather, he has approached the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive even today in his blessed grave, with remarkable powers and granting privileges. So we should remain firm in the faith that not only the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but all the prophets are alive in the blessed graves. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself says, the prophets are alive in the graves and they offer salah. It is stated in another hadith that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the soil has been prohibited by Allah to consume the bodies of the prophets. The prophets of Allah stay alive after their death, and they are provided with rizq, they are provided with provision in their graves. Allahu Akbar. This is a belief that we need to have, viewers of one channel. And I pray to Allah that we all have this firm belief in our hearts. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the prophets are alive, all the prophets are alive, all the prophets are alive. But if the prophets are alive, then we can go and visit them. If the prophets are alive, then we can go and speak to them. Allahu Akbar. If the prophets are alive, we can go and request them to intercede for us. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of my channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the hadith of the day, inshallah. Then when we come back, hopefully we'll reflect again on some of the pious predecessors of how they visited the city of Medina. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
We're human beings. And as such, we are prone to making mistakes. We do make mistakes. We sin. The best of sinners are those who repent. And there are so many ways to have our sins erased. And one narration which is found in Jami' of Imam Tirmidhi, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal, the narrator states that the Prophet ﷺ said, charity removes sins just as water extinguishes fire. Allahu Akbar. Water is used to extinguish fire. And that's the similitude that's given. Like that, when you give charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your sins are removed as well. Your sins are erased and they are finished. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to act upon this blessed hadith. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of my channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, the early morning program. And today, we're talking about the journey to Medina by the true devotees, by the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we mentioned the hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to visiting the blessed city of Medina. Sayyidina Sheikh Sayyid Ahmad Kabir Rifai Rahmatullah visited the beloved Rasul, the Rosa Rasul of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He recites these two couplets in Arabic. And I'm going to give you the translation of these two couplets. He says that from a distance, I used to send my soul to your blessed court as my substitute to kiss the blessed mausoleum. And now I have had the privilege to come to you physically. Therefore, extend your blessed hand so that I may kiss it. It is stated that as the couplets ended, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. As the couplets ended, the blessed hand emerged from the luminous grave and he kissed the blessed hand. What love must he have had? Allahu Akbar. I know a lot of people would probably wish for that, but they don't get it. And they don't get it because they don't have that love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you can see that our pious predecessors, they would always remain impatient and restless to visit the city of Madinatul Munawwara. As we heard here about Imam al-Arifin Sayyid Ahmad Kabir Rifai Rahmatullah, that he was so deeply overwhelmed by the great devotion to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remembrance of the city, that he would even kiss the threshold of the blessed mausoleum of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spiritually, because he was not there, so he would spiritually say to himself that I'm there, I'm kissing it, because it was not possible physically. Despite that, he would always wait impatiently for the call from the blessed court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with heart and soul. And when fortune eventually smiled on him and he was called to the blessed court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he embarked on this journey with body and soul. And upon reaching the blessed court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he presented these couplets, these verses in Arabic. And it was a day really of great fortune for him, honor and favor, as these beautiful words were recited out of intense devotion. You know, people write couplets nowadays so that people will think, wow, what a beautiful naat you've written. But these people wrote it out of intense devotion, intense love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he had the opportunity to kiss the blessed hand of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What greater reward could you have in this dunya? Allahu Akbar. May we be sacrificed on their footsteps, that we attain that level of devotion, that level of love, that level of spirituality to enable us to visit the city of Medina, to take the blessings from the city of Medina, to be able to present our salam in the city of Medina. Allahu Akbar. It is stated that once a true lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was a renowned saint belonging to Punjab in Pakistan, Pir Sayyid Jamaat Ali Shah Muhaddis Ali Puri Rahmatullah Ta'ala, that he went and visited the city of Medina. And one of his disciples, his students, hit a dog with a stone in the city of Medina. And the dog screamed due to the pain. Now somebody informed Pir Sayyid Jamaat Ali Shah Rahmatullah Ta'ala that this so-and-so disciple had hit a dog. And this dog was from the city of Medina. And upon hearing this, he became restless. And he ordered his students to go and find the dog and bring the dog before him. Hence, the dog was brought before him. Pir Sayyid Jamaat Ali Shah Rahmatullah stood up and started talking to the dog. He was weeping. And he said, "O inhabitant of Medina, O person who dwells, O inhabitant of the city of Medina, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive this mistake of my disciple." He then sent for roasted meat and milk and fed the dog. He then said to the dog, Jamaat Ali makes an apology. For Allah's sake, accept this apology. Profound devotion of our producer towards even the animals. Yes, even the animals of the city of Medina, that they did not even tolerate the ill-mannered behavior towards them. And this is the reason that the moment Sayyid Jamaat Ali Shah Rahmatullah came to know that one of his disciples who had hit the dog which belonged to the sacred city with a stone, he grew anxious and immediately ordered for the dog to be brought to him. Then everyone witnessed the saint of his time, yeah, and shake up millions of disciples, not only sought forgiveness from that dog for the result of his disciple, but he also fed the dog with delicious food, and he was still not satisfied, so he began to seek forgiveness again. If you're on my channel, I just want to stop here for a second. That maybe this shaitanic whisper could enter the mind, that a dog apparently is an ordinary animal, and such kind of behavior towards it and seeking forgiveness from it by a renowned sheikh on the blessed journey of Medina sounds weird and is not suitable, especially during those most sacred moments. This is a wasawasa that it can have this whisper that can go. Though it is an ordinary animal, the animal is an ordinary animal, but beating him unnecessarily is forbidden. And it's mentioned in Bahari Shariat, to hit an animal unnecessarily and hitting it especially on the face or head is prohibited according to the ulama. And so far as concerned to showing graceful behavior towards a dog, always keep this in mind, that when something bears a nisba, a connection, it attains significance of high esteem and it raises its respect to the unlimited measure, such as the dog of a Sahabi Kaf, which had earned great significance due to the company of those who love Allah Azza wa Jalla. For this reason, the glorious Quran also mentions it, and the dog will also enter Jannah, as the renowned commentator of the glorious Quran, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Nimi Rahmatullah, stated, there are some animals which are blessed with paradise. Number one, Qaswa, the she-camel of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Number two, the dog of Ashabi Kaf, the people of the cave. Number three, the she-camel of Sayyidina Saleh. And four, the donkey of Sayyidina Isa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. You know, these shaitanic whispers that we have, people say, oh, it's the city of Medina. You know, why people are talking about the dogs of Medina, the cats of Medina, the birds of Medina. They have this connection to Medina. They have this connection, this nisba to Medina, anything that is comes from the city of Medina. I remember the other day that I had the opportunity that, you know, I, alhamdulillah, at home, I have many prayer mats. You know, people gift them, we buy them, we got plenty of prayer mats at home. But then I was with someone and they said to me that this prayer mat did not only come from Medina, but it was made in Medina. Allahu Akbar. So I purchased it and it was beautifully wrapped up and took it home as a gift from the family. Why? Because it was made in the city of Medina. And someone yesterday, we were in the office and someone brought some dates from the city of Medina. And he explained to me that these dates, from the, these are the types of dates. And we sat there eating the dates of Medina, out of love and devotion, eating the dates of Medina. There are many other dates from around the world. There are many other prayer mats from around the world. Why did I buy that prayer mat? Why did we want to eat them dates? Because they have a connection to the city of Medina. And that is the love that we need to develop inside ourselves, that anything that comes from the city of Medina, we love it. And we pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we can visit the city of Medina. We're going to take a small break now, and I know that a lot of our younger viewers like to watch the Ghulam Rasul Kunis Fatima cartoons. We've got a cartoon for you as well. But like I said before, that these are not just for the children. Yes, the children can benefit. We can also benefit from them as well. So let's go to the break of the day, inshallah, and see this. And then when we come back, inshallah, we're going to continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In a jungle, there used to be an apple tree and a neem tree. Apple tree was sweet, just like its fruit, whereas neem tree, it was sour. One day, some honeybees came to that side. They saw a thick neem tree and said, "Let's go and make a house on this tree." One of the bees went to talk to the neem tree. "Brother, please let us construct our house on this tree. We are new in this jungle."
"No, no, you cannot construct house on me. Go from here."
Apple tree was looking and listening everything. He said to the neem tree,
"Oh, brother, you're a thick tree. You've got so many branches.
Many nests can be made on you. Allow them to construct their small house too. After hearing this, the neem tree furiously replied, I will not allow them at all. If you are having so much of sympathy for them, you allow them. After listening this, apple tree says to the honey bees, Listen, you all should not be worried at all. You can come and construct your house on me. You won't have no problems here. When honeybees listen this, they become very much happy, and they construct their house happily on apple tree. After a few days, a woodcutter comes to that jungle in order to get woods. He looks at apple tree and thinks,
How huge this tree is! If I cut it and sell in the market, I will get a good income.
As soon as he picks his axe to cut it, all of a sudden, he looks towards the honeycomb. He stops and thinks, If he cuts this tree, honeybees may attack on him. Meanwhile, his sight goes towards the neem tree, and he thinks,
This is more thicker than the apple tree. There isn't any nest on it too.
After thinking this, as soon as the woodcutter started cutting the neem tree started screaming loudly.
Can someone help me? Protect me? Is there anyone to help me?
After listening to the screams, the apple tree said to the honeybees, You go and help that tree. He is in trouble. After listening this, the honeybees straightaway attacked on woodcutter and forced him to run away. The woodcutter left while saying, Help, help. The neem tree gives thanks to the honeybees.
Thank you so much. You have saved my life.
You shouldn't say thanks to us. Rather, you should say thanks to the apple tree who told us to come and help you.
Finally, the neem tree realizes his mistake. And he apologizes from honeybees and apple tree. Moral. Dear children, we learn from this story that we should never be arrogant. We should be sympathetic towards children. And we should not reply evil with evil. Rather, we should reply evil with good. Hadith. Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyiduna Ali al-Murtada radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Prophet of Allah, intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has said, Shall I not tell you about the best manners of this world and hereafter? You mend relations with that person who breaks with you, and provide the one who deprives you, and forgive the one who oppresses you.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of my channel, we're coming towards the end of the program. Now, we've been watching today, Rise and Shine, and in today's program, we've been talking about the true devotion, the love, the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how they felt, what their experiences were when they visited. And the reason for this is to try and develop this passion, this yearning inside ourselves. The renowned commentator of the Quran that I mentioned earlier on in many of the instances, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah ta'ala, that he enjoyed the privilege of going for Hajj in 1390 Al-Hijri. And in this regard, he said, relating a faith refreshing incident of their pilgrimage, he said that he was going to Madinatul Munawwara, and he said, I slipped over and I fell in the city of Medina. And he says, it caused my right wrist bone to break. And when the pain increased, I kissed the wrist and I said, all the pain of Medina, stay in my heart as I have found you from the court of the beloved. Unbelievable mindset that they had. That mindset that they had, that this pain that I have now got, I got it in the city of Medina. So stay with me because this pain is from the city of Medina. I don't want to lose anything that I got from the city of Medina. And the pain had relieved at that time, but the wrist did not work properly. He said that I had the x-ray of my wrist after 17 days from the Royal Hospital, and the x-ray report revealed that the wrist bone had broken into two pieces, which had a huge gap in between. But I did not receive any medical treatment. Then the hand gradually started work. Upon this, a doctor of Medina named Dr. Ismail said that it was a real miracle because the hand would not move from a medical point of view. He said, I've still got that x-ray with me. The bone is still broken, and I am writing the tafsir with that broken hand. I took only this treatment of my broken hand that I stood at the blessed and sacred Jerusalem, and I said to the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Your Highness, my hand is broken. Or the one who joined the broken shin, of Abdullah bin Atiq radiallahu ta'ala, or the one who joined the broken arm of Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala, please join my broken hand. Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, when he was coming back on a ship from the Hajj, and there was a huge storm, and the captain of the ship said that, you know, if you have a kafan, put it on, because there's very little chances of surviving this storm. So you can imagine what was happening on the ship at that time. People were screaming and shouting. But Sayyidina Ali Hazrat was calm. And when he was asked why, he said that, I heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, recite this dua, nothing will happen to you in a journey. I've recited the dua, so nothing's going to happen. Iman, faith. And nowadays, we recite duas. Nowadays, we're given wazifa to read. Nowadays, we read these things. But do we really mean it? And then we wonder why our duas are not accepted. We wonder why our du'as, because we're not sincerely believing, we're not sincerely doing the du'a from the heart. A person was outside a masjid and he was praying, and someone came in and said to him, what are you praying for? He says, I'm praying for my eyesight, I'm blind. And he said, how many years have you been praying? He said, several years. And he said, I'm going to go inside the masjid, when I come out, if you don't have your eyesight restored, I'm going to chop off your head. And now his du'a changed to such an extent, by the time the person had come out, his eyesight was restored. So is our dua like that person who'd been outside the masjid for several years doing dua, Ya Allah, restore my sight? Or is our dua like that person that when a person said, if I come out of this masjid and your eyesight is not restored, I will chop your head off? And his dua was then different. What is our dua like? What is our passion like? What is our mindset like? What is our yearning like? What is our thirst like? These are all questions we need to ask ourselves. Every problem that we are facing, viewers on the channel, it is us. We are the problem. And we are the solution to the problem. And I've said it time and time and time again, that unless we examine ourselves, look at our weaknesses. Don't look to others' weaknesses. And this is again a problem of society, that we look to other people's weak. Oh, he backbites. Oh, he swears. He cheats. He's like, what do you do? Just look at yourself. You shouldn't have time to look at other people. You should be constantly examining yourself and saying to yourself, I have this weakness. I have this problem. And Allah knows that if I sit down and start counting my problems, I won't have time to look at other people's problems. If I sat down and started looking at my problems and looking to how I can resolve these problems, I won't have time to look at other people's problems. If I sat down and looked to the symptoms that I have and what problems I'm going to get as a result of these symptoms, as a result of going down this path, what's going to happen to my life, if I look at that, I won't have time to look at other people's problems. So we need to self-examine ourselves. Why? Why do I not have the mindset of these pious people? Why do I not have the yearning of these pious people? Why do I not have the thirst of these pious people? Now you say, oh, well, they are pious people. They are great willies of Allah. They're great friends of Allah. True, they are, without a doubt. And maybe we can never achieve that yearning, that passion, that love. But do we even try? Or do we just give up and say, well, we can't do it? So. No, we should have that passion inside us. We should have that love inside us, that devotion inside us. And until we have that, we won't have that. Allahu Akbar. You know when Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, may Allah Azza wa Jalla keep his shadow upon us, was privileged to embark on the journey of Hajj in Madinatul Munawwarah. The state he experienced is impossible to describe as it happened, but I'm going to give you a brief description. He says that at the time for his departure to Medina drew closer, a large crowd came to see him off at Bab al-Madinah. As they surrounded him and began reciting Naat verses, glorifying the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Naat full of deep passion and depth of feeling aroused the intense devotion and deep attachment of the true devotees, and the whole area was fully overwhelmed by grief and sorrow as the Naat reciters were crying for the city of Medina. The condition of Amir al-Sunnah himself was completely changed. There was hardly a person there that wasn't in tears. Viewers of my channel that are fortunate enough to remember the time when the annual Ijtama took place in Multan Sharif, then one of the segments right at the end on the last day was Tasawwur-e Madina, in which Amir al-Sunnah would make us close our eyes and try and imagine the journey of leaving your home, going to the airport, the feeling that you would have in your heart. You're getting on the plane is taking off, your heart is getting closer to the city of Medina. You're getting off the plane, you're in that blessed lands, you're getting closer and closer and closer, and your heart rate is pumping and building up this vision, this mindset of how, you know, you should visit the city of Medina. And that was a beautiful time having that. But viewers of Medina, we can also sit down and have that tasawwur-e Medina, that thinking about Medina, the tasawwur that, you know, we are going to make that journey. In the same way that we heard that one of our pious predecessors, he would spiritually say that you know, I present myself spiritually to kiss the Roza Rasul every day, and now I'm presenting myself physically. We need to present ourselves physically. Whenever we get the opportunity to recite Salatu Wasalam, close your eyes and imagine yourself that I'm there. I am there presenting my salam in front of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And while sending salat upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make this intention that, Ya Allah, in the same way that I'm standing out of love and respect today, then Ya Allah, put my name on that list. Put my name on that list of people that are going to be called to the city of Medina as soon as possible. Ya Allah, give me the opportunity that when I recite salam upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when I open my eyes, I don't just see the Roza Rasul with my closed eyes, I see it with my open eyes as well. These are the du'as that we need to make. This is the passion that we need to have. This is the yearning that we need to have. The devotion that we need to have. And again, by reading about these people, you know, these people, we said they were pious. We said they were friends of Allah. Did they need to visit the city of Medina to increase their passion? Did they need to visit the city of Medina to increase their knowledge? They were already at that maqam, that status, but they still had that yearning. For them, visiting that place was never enough. It wasn't a bookie list or a ticket off, I've been once. I don't need to go again. Then it was on the list, it stayed on the list, it never came off the list. And it was never ticked off as if I've done this. It was always wanting to go. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give us, viewers of Medina, that passion, that yearning, that love. And so I implore you, viewers of Medina, not only to do dua for me, dua for all the Muslims around the world, that Allah give them the opportunity to perform this journey to the sacred lands, not just once, but as many times as possible. And by watching Madri Channel, develop the love that we should have for the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the love that we should have for anything connected to the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Viewers of Madri Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine, and I hope and I pray that we've developed some passion for the city of Medina in our hearts. But until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.